It is so good to be back together. So good to be able to see you in person. And I hope that remains the case for a long time to come. I was going to say this morning that I have been enjoying watching the America's Cup. But now I feel I've got to say to you, I have enjoyed watching half the America's Cup. It's too stressful when we're not winning. So I don't know the first. Is anyone here like good on a yacht? Sailor? No? No good. Oh, Mike. Excellent. Because there aren't too many, I can say what I like now. So that's really good. Oh, I'm authority on America's Cup. But actually, I don't know very much about yachting at all, and Melanie would confirm this because not long after we were married, we were on holiday in Wanaka, and we hired one of the little boats, one of the little yachts that you can have by the lakeside there. It was reasonably calm, just a little gentle breeze, and we went out just a little way, and then there was a big gust of wind. And both of us ended up on the water. It's the last time Melanie's been sailing with me. So not an expert, not at all. But while I can't appreciate the finer points of the racing, and even I find when the commentators are commentating, I don't understand all the things that they're saying about this is there and that. And if you look at this part of the yacht, you see, I'm just lost. Even though I can't appreciate the finer points of the racing, I can't help but be impressed when the yachts get up on the foils. And all of a sudden, I don't know how big those foils are, 2 or 3 meters, and they're holding up this big, huge yacht, and it just almost seems as if it's flying across the sea. Well, sometimes we speak of our church here. I'll just get you to move that on for me. That doesn't seem to be working. Sometimes we speak of our church as a ship set sail. But I have to admit, it doesn't feel just at the moment like we as a ship are up on our foils, as if we're really skimming and making progress with no problem. I've been finding it hard to build momentum when all these lockdowns keep taking the wind out of our sails. And at times like this, a little bit like the America's Cup, perhaps we need to go back to the boat shed and to have a review and to see what's happening. Check the basics ready for when the wind picks up again. Part of that sort of review really is to go back to the very basic things of our Christian faith, our mission. Perhaps to think about, where does the authority for what we do as a church, where does that come from? At our recent parish council meeting, one of our elders reminded us of the importance of really knowing what the mission of our church is and ask us as elders, do we know what the mission of the church is? This is a really important question for each of us to think about. Even in the best of times, it's easy to lose sight of the mission of the church or God's mission for us in our lives. But in a time of crisis like we're experiencing at the moment with COVID-19, it's even easier to become distracted. It would also be quite easy for us to be focused on our building project rather than the day-to-day things of our mission. And so I ask, do you know what the mission that God has called us to here in Greyfriars is? Do you know where you fit in that mission? I don't want to stress it too much today, but for those who want to know a little bit more about our mission, I have done a summary. It's on the table at the back, the mission of our church over the next 5 years, and you can have a look at that if you really want to get involved. and know more. We've got quite a lot of information there, but that's just there as a summary. Do you know what the mission is? Do you know where we fit in? And if we are to be this ship set sail, and we're not yet up on the foils, how do we re-engage? How do we re-engage in mission again this year? I recently read, with all the changes in COVID, I recently read, change is the water we swim in. But for our purposes today, it might better read, change is the water we sail in. Because it's all around us. It's lapping at our sides. The waves will move us. The waves of change. We can't avoid it. Change is not a minor irritant that every now and then there's a little bit of a change and we have to just sort of adjust to it. Change is just all around us, so constant, in a sense, in the air that we breathe, the landscape we live in, our constant companion. Change, change, more change. And where is our anchor in these sorts of times when there are pandemics or earthquakes or tsunamis? What's going to hold us firm in these challenging times we're living in? Well, towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year, I felt God direct me, and so I changed the sermon series to focus on John the Baptist. When I realized we couldn't sort of start this year without making some sort of adjustment for what's going on, some provision to acknowledge that our hearts and our minds are in a different place. This isn't a normal year. We see the challenges of lockdowns. We know we have had a tough year. And in the midst of that, God sort of impressed upon me, go back. Go back to John the Baptist, to the beginning, when Jesus was just about to launch his ministry. Look at John. See what was happening in John's ministry. And so John came with this call to repent and be baptized. And as we look at that, we go back to that, to those opening moments of the new covenant, the mission of Jesus. And in preparation for Jesus coming, John the Baptist raised people's expectations, not only with what he was saying, but through the active ministry of baptizing people and pointing them to Jesus. In John, we find God heralding a new era of spirituality. After 400 years of silence, suddenly God is shouting in the desert and crying out through the prophet John. The COVID crisis means it's not business as usual for churches. Yesterday I read an article that was titled, "How Will COVID Permanently Change Churches?" And this is a question being asked of churches all around the world. And as we emerge from this crisis, if I hope we're emerging from it, that we're on the right side of things at the moment, but even perhaps with faltering steps, maybe there'll be another lockdown, I hope not, but there could be these obstacles. When we're in this sort of situation, we need to take time to take stock. Just to pause for a moment, to rebuild, to see how things are, to tend to our souls, to renew our strength. And in a time where our faith is pressed and tested, like John, we may have found ourselves with these faith-shaking questions about Jesus. Are you really the one? Are you really the one? And when the storm of COVID comes sweeping across us and the lockdowns are holding us within our homes, we might have found ourselves weary. I'm sure many of us have. It's not unusual at a time like this to feel that sense of weariness, of wavering, and perhaps even questioning. And so what I'm trying to say is that in the midst of this, it seemed to me God was saying, John, just put aside what you had thought you were doing and come back to John the Baptist, because we can draw spiritual strength from the mission of John the Baptist. We can draw strength from how he helped people to find Jesus. John knew exactly what his mission was. He focused on it and he gathered a group of disciples, and they also focused on it and they helped him in his mission. And so we find in John this great prophet sent by God, pointing to Jesus with great authority and saying, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And even now, in the pages of Scripture, and as we engage with him, John says, "The Lamb of God, follow him, the one who takes away the sin of the world." And John, in a sense, represents the culmination of the Old Testament, its laws, its prophets, its wisdom. These things, in one sense, drawing to a close as Jesus opens the door for a new covenant, a new testament in all its fullness. And here is this one simple truth that I hope, as we've gone through this series on John, that it's come through to you. To respond to the ministry of John the Baptist is to be prepared for the ministry of Jesus Christ. John prepared the way for Jesus. And even today, if people will follow John's direction to repent and be baptized, they can find new life in Jesus. His message does not grow old. John's mission helps us with the mission of our church, which we express as helping people to know and follow Jesus. We still get to know and follow Jesus through repentance, through baptism, just as John the Baptist began to proclaim. And we, as those who have repented and have been baptized, we can, like John the Baptist, proclaim that to others so that they can find Christ. We can point people in Jesus' direction and let them know that Jesus is the answer to the issues that they have in their lives. Now, earlier in Luke's gospel, we found, it was just in the passage before the one we read, we found John was in prison and reflecting on his mission. He was a bit confused about Jesus, and so he sent his disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus answered John's question by pointing to miracles, to the changes that were happening in people's lives, to the power that was being exercised, to the obvious signs of God's kingdom. Jesus was ministering with great power and with great authority, but he didn't use his power, as many were expecting, to overthrow Rome. Rather, he used his spiritual powers against the powers of evil. He used his authority not to lord it over others, but to command demons to leave, sickness to go, wholeness to be restored. And these were the signs that the kingdom of God had come, that Jesus was indeed God's anointed one, who had come with the authority of God on this mission to achieve and accomplish the salvation of humanity. In the verses we consider today, then Jesus turns the crowd's thoughts around to the ministry of John the Baptist. And Jesus peppers the crowd with these rhetorical questions. Now, I'm not sure why Jesus asked, "What did you go to see?" rather than "Who did you go to see?" And perhaps there's a sense in which what was happening was more important than who was doing it. And what people saw when they went into the desert was the hand of God at work through this marvelous prophet. What was happening through John's ministry was profound. Please don't think less of me. Last week, for old time's sake, I watched a movie called Volcano. I know, it's right up there on the list of really great movies that everyone should see. But anyway, this was a chill out night, so we watched this movie Volcano. Now, it came out about 1985, so I don't think I need to give any spoiler alerts. But what was happening in this movie was that a volcano had started to form in the middle of Los Angeles, as tends to happen. And lava began flowing out from this, and it started moving towards this crowded neighborhood. And so the hero decided to shift the direction of the lava by putting a bus in its way. But that was not enough. So he put concrete barriers in its way. But that was not enough. So then the climax of this movie was they sent these people into this great big apartment building, which just happened to be brand new and belonged to the sort of evil guy who didn't want to help anyone. And they put dynamite around and they blew the bottom out of this building and it fell over in just the right direction. And it fell in front of the lava, and it made the lava turn and flow safely to the sea. So that's what that movie was about. What on earth are you telling us this for? Well, because I think in some ways John the Baptist was like that building, that spiritual barrier that was trying to change the tide, the flow, the direction of salvation history. Through John, God began this marvelous work, calling people who were, in a sense, flowing in one direction, calling this people, turn, repent, turn back to God. To repent is to allow God to be at work in our lives in that sense of turning us from ourselves and turning us towards Him. And John was commanding people who were being carried along with the momentum of the law and of the prophets and of the temple, turn from your sin, turn, be baptized. His mission was to channel that flow of salvation history in a different direction. From the temple, as good as that had been, was only in part turning the tide of salvation history from that to Jesus, who would die for our sins. And so John was this last Old Testament prophet calling the people of Israel, turn, turn, turn to God in repentance. John was this voice in the wilderness. John had this powerful ministry that reached out in such great ways. Now, we don't perhaps often think about this, but John's ministry, profound and powerful, we read about it even in the book of Acts, that Paul encountered disciples in Ephesus who were changed by John's ministry. And so in this passage where Luke is writing the history in Acts, we read, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus, where he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. And here comes a wonderful summary of John's ministry as Paul relates it. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Now, Paul was in Ephesus about 52 AD, which means this is about 22 years, 3 years after John's ministry. And still, he encountered people there who had been touched by the ministry of John the Baptist. This is how profound John's ministry was. The distance between Jerusalem and Ephesus by road is just short of 2,000 kilometers. Even today, that's a long distance. Still, John's mission, John's ministry had touched people in Ephesus. If John's disciples had reached Ephesus, one of the major hubs, Roman hubs in that time, it would have been spreading out all over the place. And Paul summarized John's mission, baptism of repentance. Tell people, believe in Jesus. John John's ministry was powerful. It was a far-reaching ministry. And so Jesus was challenging the crowd about him and ruling out some ideas that they may have had. Jesus pointed out that John was not a swaying reed. John did not waver. He did not bend. He did not change his message to fit in with the crowd. He spoke boldly. He spoke with authority. He did this with the tax collectors and with the soldiers who repented. He did this with the authorities and even with King Herod, speaking with equal boldness to them, even though they rejected his message. John was a thorn in the side both of the king and the authorities in Jerusalem. And this is why when the Jewish leaders questioned Jesus' authority, Jesus is able to turn the tables on them and say to them, okay, I'll answer that, but first of all, tell me, where did John get his authority? Where did John get his authority? And they were stumped. They were cornered because John was bold and John had an effective ministry. And it was plain to everyone that God was with John. But they couldn't say that. They couldn't say his authority came from God because they had rejected John and thus rejected God's path, God's way for them. And they couldn't say, on the other hand, that John was just an ordinary guy because the crowd was convinced he was a prophet sent by God. Why couldn't they answer this? Why couldn't they just come out and say? Because in reality, these authorities who had this limited authority through the temple and the Old Testament had come face to face with this greater authority of John and with the ultimate authority of Jesus. John would not bend for them. Neither would John. Was John reveling in the fame or the riches or the power or the popularity that this could have gained for him? He lived an austere life, not one of luxury. Now we know many people are drawn to power and to fame. And this is evident in the hype and the money that's being made as the problems of the royal family have been aired by Oprah, the queen of the talk show hosts. All the crowns, the clothes, the jewels, the palaces, the titles, the powerful, the elite. I didn't watch it, but you could hardly miss the publicity that was around it. And I haven't watched The Crown either, but I imagine it reveals a lot of courtiers, people around the edges who are drawn to this grandeur and this power and the prestige of it all and wanting to take part in it and be part of all this power. But that's not what we find with John the Baptist. Of course, in the end, John the Baptist did live in a palace, but in a dungeon, not in the royal suites. John didn't move in these powerful man-made circles. He didn't walk the corridors of man-made wealth and power. No palace, no fancy clothes, no royal decrees, no royal guard to enforce his will. During his ministry, he was far from the palaces of power, out in the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey. His authority was not derived from royal privilege. Rather, he spoke in the power and the authority of God. Well, what difference does this make to us? We're living through a crisis. I know people in other nations have it much, much worse than we do. Last night on the news, I heard that Italy's going into a third wave as COVID again resurges there. People in other nations have had it much worse than we do. But that's not to say it isn't hard for us. We are also in this same world. COVID is a problem for us. We've had our lockdowns, each of them accompanied by concerns and frustrations and fears. And if we use this image of our church as a ship set sail, or even think of our individual commitment to Jesus, to the Christian faith, are we back in the boat shed, checking our equipment, trying to discern if this ship is seaworthy or likely to sink? Can we trust our lives to this endeavor? Can we continue our involvement in this process? Should we continue to invest our hearts, our souls, our time, our energy into this mission that God has called us to? Well, a key plank in the hull of the ship is the ministry of John the Baptist. He did not buckle, he did not bend. Rather, he spoke with authority. This message of repentance and baptism as he pointed to Jesus. Not a minor prophet. Jesus said, the greatest among prophets. And crowds flocked to him. And people obeyed and they were baptized. They repented, they prepared for the coming of the Lord. Lives were changed by his ministry because his ministry was based on the authority of God. It seems in this America's Cup, the race is won or lost in the start box. And so in a sense, to go back to the start and check these things out, that's a good thing for us to do. When we know and understand about John, we get an advantage at the start. John's is a firm foundation. In John, the hull is intact. Jesus, who he points to as the Lamb of God, makes the whole ship seaworthy. Once again in him, we see the authority of God at work. Once we see again the authority of Jesus, then we can begin to focus again on the mission that God has given us with greater confidence and conviction. The writer of Hebrews encourages us, run the race marked out for us. He says that, and I just changed the imagery a little bit. Allow me to do this, to change that imagery a little bit, to say, and let us sail with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Reverend Shaw, the first minister in Greyfriars in 1917, expressed the mission of the church by saying, and you understand his language of the day, our work here is to bring the hearts of men to the knowledge of the riches that are in Christ and to bring them to personal acceptance of Christ. That's still our mission. That was the mission John the Baptist was on. That was the mission that the early church was on and the church ever since has been on. And so again, we can come as the crew of this ship, come to the start, the restart of the course marked out before us in 2021. Again, we can set out to help people know and follow Jesus. Again, we can pick up the words of John the Baptist and help others to repent and be baptized. Again, we can point people to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, we can prayerfully discern how to tack, when to tack, where the wind of the Spirit will be blowing in this year, how the currents around us are moving as we begin to rise up on the foils and again launch into this year. All of this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our music team are going to lead us again in praise.